Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths, or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
You are listening to episode 12 of season number 4, the Cubs Swing and Miss on Alex Bregman. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and most importantly, subscribe to the podcast, follow on all the socials, Fly the W670 Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, or you can email us at flythew670@gmail.com. So, Crowley, maybe you saw it before you went to bed. I didn't see it till I woke up to check on the snow at about 1 a.m., but Alex Bregman has decided to take his talents to Boston.
Yep, and once again, Theo finds himself as a bridesmaid and not a bride. Oh, boy, Dustin. You know, I was getting tired of the story anyway, but friend of the pod. Friend of the pod.
You had Bregman fatigued, did you?
I was Bregman fatigued out. Friend of the pod, Chandler Rome, was all over this. First one to break it. That was 9:25 last night that the Alex Bregman was in agreement with the Boston Red Sox. So just doing great work for the Athletic. And when you look at it, Dustin, the report showed Jeff Passan followed it up, that it was a $120 million deal with Boston. There is deferred money. $40 million salary is $10 million more than what the others were offering. And when it comes, I'll break this down. When it comes down to it, the Cubs had the second best offer on the market, but the Red Sox went a little bit more. So this is the way that the contract is structured, Dustin. 2025, Bregman's going to make $40 million and has an opt-out at the end of the season. 2026, $40 million and an opt-out at the end of the season. And 2027, $40 million and the contract ends. Dustin, that is a lot of cheddar, man.
That's a lot. I mean, I would have been stunned if the Cubs had gone that far. I don't think I would have been mad that the Cubs went that far, but I would have been stunned. So it's very hard for me to get as wound up as people might think I was going to get about this. I mean, I like the idea of Alex Bregman, but at some point, Crowley, at some point, Cubs fans, current Cubs, Cubs ownership, Cubs media need to find out if Jed and Carter and the lower levels can develop and cash in on a prospect. It's Matt Shaw's time. Let's see if they know what they're looking at. A lot of pressure. I get it. But at some point, you've got to do something with all these scratch-off tickets. Here we go.
Right. And so when we look at the contract, Dustin, I guess that's why I'm not angry, because A, the Cubs do have someone in Matt Shaw that can come in and take that place. And two, I mean, his AAV, $40 million, right, would tie him with Aaron Judge for the fourth highest AAV.
Right. I thought it was like fourth or fifth with that. Yeah.
Right. Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, and Zach Wheeler. To me, Alex Bregman isn't in that same category as those guys.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
He's on the downslide, and I get people are frustrated because of, look, it sucks because we've been hearing about budget and budget constraints and breaking even and all that stuff. I wasn't mad at this one. I wasn't mad. I thought that the Cubs, made a fair offer and he decided to go elsewhere. But Dustin, if you look at it, the Tigers went 6 years, $171 million. That's $28.5 million AAV. So he would have been making $28.5 million, which is what he was roughly making. You remember when we talked about Matthew Trueblood, about how that's what he wanted, is to be roughly making what he was making in Houston. I mean, he could have gone to the Tigers and gotten it for six more years.
Right. And so he's betting on himself as well, right? He's betting on himself as well. And or he doesn't think much of his game in Tiger Stadium and thinks that he can hit a whole lot of doubles off that green monster.
Right. And then the Astros, we know their offer was 6 year, 156. That was $26 million AAV. And then the Cubs were 4 years, $120 million. Dustin, they were willing to go $30 million a year on Bregman. That's stunning to me as far as like a Jed Hoyer type move.
No, I mean, he really must believe, and this is kind of what you got to get excited about, right? He must really, really, really believe in this Cubs team.
Yeah, apparently he does. And so afterwards he was asked, you know, he came out to talk to the beat writers to, I don't know how you would put it. Would you say that you would say face the music?
That's a way to say it.
I don't want to say face the music because, again, I don't think he did anything wrong.
I don't think he did anything wrong either. But, you know, he's telling us what we all assumed, that they were in on Bregman, and he's explaining. I've heard the audio. You know, the audience has it. Maybe they have, but he's explaining how the process worked. And what's interesting is that he, you know, went to the family, to the Ricketts family, specifically to get more, as you put it earlier, Crowley, cheddar for this particular player. Just keep in mind, this cheddar was for one particular mouse. They're not attracting a bunch of more mice with this cheddar. That cheddar's going back into the Ricketts' pockets.
Well, here we go. Here's Jed's explanation.
Yeah, obviously disappointed. Great player, a great fit. We definitely recognize the opportunity. I was really thankful to Tom and Todd and Laura. You know, I spent a lot of time talking about pursuit of him, and you know, they were willing to sort of green light us pushing our budget. This free agency, ultimately, like, they got a deal in structure and in amount that we couldn't match. But that's just the nature of it. But I'm thankful that I was able to pursue it. It was a really good opportunity, and you know, now we move forward.
Was there any moment about during the process that you guys felt you were on the verge of green something, or did it not happen?
No.
How did you feel about the offer?
I mean, ultimately, like, you know, I feel like we made a strong offer, but clearly it wasn't enough. And again, like, when you're in free agency, most of the time, player goes the highest bid, and the Red Sox got a great player. They were aggressive, and kudos to them. They got a great player. But I'm glad that we were able, given where we are with our budget right now, I'm glad that we were able to pursue it, and I'm thankful that we're able to.
Oh my God, Dustin, the thing that made me laugh, for those of you that are watching on YouTube, I do have to laugh a little bit, just because you could, when you're in Arizona, when you're in Mesa, I got to do an interview last year in spring training. I did it with Brennan Davis and I did it with Carl Edwards Jr. And there's planes and it feels like nonstop. And then not only that, you had the music going on in the background. So I told you the backfields, there's four fields and they have like speakers four ways, just blasting whatever people want to listen to. But yeah, that's kind of where we are. And so, as you mentioned, Odyssey Score Insider, host of Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine, said Hoyer was direct about the fact that the money was a layout for Bregman only. He said they may do a few minor things, but the squad is basically what you see now. Center fielder, third baseman, first baseman on the radar. So that's it. That was, again, he thought that much of Alex Bregman to go to the family to ask for money. And so that to me was pretty interesting, and the fact that the Ricketts approved it.
Yeah, it's really great. It's really great that they approved it. So everybody that's called, you gotta tap the brakes a little bit, okay? This is, they're not being cheap. They're not being cheap.
Not on this one, and it's not a mistake. And when you take a look here, there may be a more of a reason, even than money. This is Bregman's numbers in Boston. 21 games, 98 plate appearances, 7 home run, a .375 average, and an OPS of 1.240. So I got to say, Dustin, to me, it just seems like he really, really just wants to hit there. And from what a lot of people are talking about is between the Cubs and the Red Sox all year. And you remember that Wrigley didn't play really well last year as far as the wind. It was difficult to hit. He may have just said, hey, I'm going to go on with this and go a different route. But Dustin,
well, he gets connected with his old skipper, right, down in Houston, right? His old skipper is now the skipper out in Boston. So that's got to be a thing, right? That's part of this. Right. Spring training, Astros have been training in Florida. The Red Sox train in Florida. Maybe he's got a place in Florida. And heck, he could have a place in all 50 states with that kind of cheddar.
Well, here's another thing, though, that Bruce put out there that I think we have to talk about here. He said Cubs Jed Hoyer said he had many, many emails and texts with owner Tom Ricketts about money availability for Alex Bregman. Cubs will not defer money any longer on contract offers. This team is still paying Jason Hayward and John Lester on deferred deals. Dustin, I mean,
this is how this all developed, Crowley, just to look behind the curtain, okay? This is a question that we brought up on the show this morning. We then asked Bruce about it, and then Bruce asked about it today. So this is something that was developed by the Mully and Haw show. I bet they're okay that they're still paying Lester. I'm sure they're not okay that they're still paying Hayward. But, hey, who would have thought that Hayward would have a job still in Major League Baseball and Anthony Rizzo would be looking? But this this is a big deal, and I'm predicting that in the next CBA, the owners, before they go to war with the players, are going to go to war with each other over deferred money. Deferred money is something that I don't think is legit for this game moving forward.
I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, if the Dodgers are doing it, maybe it's something you should take a look at it. Because, you know, this looks to me like an advantage that you can take right now. And I get it. It's annoying.
Well, it looks like they were willing to spend this year, but for this year. And I think this year is the key, Crowley. You're not going to want to hear this, and it's something that we're going to have to talk about. But from a lot of people around baseball, they're talking about a work stoppage.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're going for it, like this is the year to go for it. Because there might not be a next year.
But again, could you have deferred some of that money for a Bregman deal?
I think they're taking a hard stand on the whole deferred money. But again, look at when you're talking about the deferred money, it's $2 million for Lester, and it's $5 million for Hayward. Now the Hayward goes into 2027. I think this is the last year for Lester, but still, it's $5 million. Now again, $5 million. It's a lot of cheddar. That's going to be the drinking game on this podcast, by the way. It shouldn't be the reason to not defer, because what others are deferring when we're talking about the Red Sox now and the Yankee and the Dodgers is a lot more than $2 and $5 million.
Right. And that's what you got to look at. And I will say, I did think it was a really good offer that the Cubs put out there, but this is, when you talk about three strikes, you're out here. They struck out on Bregman.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey!
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Remember Tanner Scott, who many analysts thought was the best free agent reliever on the market. The Cubs offered him 4 years, $66 million, but the Dodgers went 4 years, $72 million. I mean, they just missed out on that one right there. And then Roky Sasaki. So it's been a tough offseason, but you could see Jed going as hard as he can on some of these, and again, just falling short. And so now the question, of course, is who takes, you know, third base now? And we heard all winter and all spring that Matt Shaw will have the opportunity to win third base. And that still appears to be what's going to happen. Craig Counsell did meet with the media and talk specifically about Matt Shaw and what he is going to do as far as getting reps at third base.
I mean, I think at this point, Matt Shaw is going to get a lot of reps at third base. I think we should focus on third base with Matt. I think that's where his focus is going to be. If we have to adjust there, we'll certainly adjust, but I think we'll keep the focus mostly at third base.
So I think they want to make sure that this kid is just getting every opportunity and not moving him around like Christopher Morel, right? Like, let's just put him in one spot and go with it.
I think that's a smart way to do it, don't you?
Yeah, I like that as well. Let him focus. Don't try to get him all over the place. Just give him one spot and let's see what he does with it. Now, for a backup plan, and this came out when we were recording last time, Ken Rosenthal said sources have discussed signing Justin Turner if Alex Bregman goes elsewhere. That was Patrick Mooney and Ken Rosenthal putting it out there. I am not into that, Dustin. I don't know about you. I don't know. I'm not into getting Justin Turner. I'd rather not.
Well, the reason that they're into Justin Turner is because he can do third base and first base, and he's a winner, and he's a good guy. Again, Justin Turner might cost you $5 million, $2.5 million. I mean, what do you like? I mean, are we going to start talking about trading with the Cardinals for Nolan Arenado?
All I can tell you is that for a lot of people that sit there, when you talk about Justin Turner, he doesn't really play third base. Can he? Yes, he can. Is he good at it anymore? No. He was a full-time third baseman pretty much his entire Dodger career. Okay. If you take a look, I have up here just kind of the numbers as far as positions. 2017, 121 games at third base. 2018, 96, he had some injuries. 2019, 124. And then with the Dodgers in 2021, 143 games. But then you start to see after the 2022 season, he played 66 games for the Dodgers at third base. Then when he goes to Boston, they had him play 41 games at first base, only 7 at third base. Okay.
Because they had a better option, right? They had a better option or no?
Yes, they had a better option. Right now, pretty much anything's a better option. And then later on, he's going to go to Toronto. He's only going to play 5 games at third base. And then he's going to go to Seattle. He's going to play 2 teams. He only plays 1 game at third base. So, I mean, apparently everybody's got a better third baseman than Justin Turner. I, 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 I just think that it's not something I'm really into, man. I think Birdie will be fine as a backup at third for Shaw. I don't think you need Justin Turner, and it's not anything I'm really into right now. So, I thought the Cubs did a good job as far in trying to get him, but they fell a little short, and that's how it goes sometimes. So, clearly frustrating, but we did get some good news, Dustin. We did get some good news. Javier Assad got his MRI results, and so as far as Assad is concerned, it's a quote, this is from Elise Menneker, Twitter, it's a mild strain. We're going to have him shut down from throwing until symptoms subside. I don't think it's going to be many days that we're without throwing, so the MRI was good news. I expect him to see him back out there throwing shortly. And so
that's good news, right? That's good news. There's also good news on Ben Brown. I thought that was something that piqued my interest, hearing that Ben Brown is throwing at the pace that they definitely want him to be throwing at, right? So that's great news as well.
Right. And so the question is, and this is, I asked a lot of people and a lot of smart baseball people I reached out to, and I couldn't get a good answer on it.
Bruce is looking into it for us, Crowley. I've got Bruce on this too.
Oh, great. Because the question is whether the Cubs have him as part of a roster when they go to Japan, right? And so we talked on the last episode how the Cubs get two extra roster spots for the trip to Tokyo, but only one of them could be used for a pitcher.
So they basically get one extra position player, one extra pitcher.
Correct. So again, as these guys are probably not fully stretched out like they normally would be, that would be your starters, Shota and Justin Steele. You figure you want a guy that's going to eat a couple innings. Colin Rea can do that. Ben Brown can do that. Jordan Wicks can do that. But let's say if Assad can't go, does that open up? And then you open up another spot, right, for another multi-inning pitcher. But my question for Bruce is, how does the IL work with the Japanese trip? So normally a trip to the IL means a player cannot be reactivated for 10 days. You put him on the 10-day IL, right? Well, does that mean that Assad would not be able to be activated until April 4th against the Padres, which would be technically 10 game days? Or would he be able to be activated on March 28th against the Diamondbacks, which would be 8 days after the Tokyo series starts, 10 days total? The two Tokyo games, and then all the way to the 28th. So I just don't know if when they return back, because they have another couple of weeks of spring training after the Japan trip, does he have
that? And that's so weird, by the way. That's so bizarre. You play two games that count, and then you come back and play about seven games that don't. What's
right.
going on?
and how does that count on the IL? And so that was my question. So I'm glad Bruce is looking into it. I had a lot of people theorize, but no one's been able to give me a straight answer. But talking about that Japan series, we talked about how this was going to work out, and now we have more clarity on who is
going to be. I'm going to disagree. We'll listen to the audio, but I'm going to disagree. This had me hot to trot this morning, Crowley.
All right. Well, from our friend Odyssey Insider and USA Today beat writer Bob Nightingale, Yoshinobu Yamamoto will start the Dodgers series opener in Tokyo, Dave Roberts says, and likely Roki Sasaki in game number two.
Isn't that nice? You get, more than likely, nothing written in ink, no exclamation point, no bust my rear end if it doesn't happen. But, we don't have to do this cloak and dagger stuff, Crowley. Okay, this isn't an attack. This isn't some kind of war game going on.
Well, here is how Skipper Craig Counsell replied to who was starting.
See, Shota could be pitching Japan. Are you concerned about to play earlier?
No. Look, Japan is, I think how we've kind of approached it is we did a little bit of more work, maybe more work before we got here. And now it's just, we're going to do the same thing. And we have so many days and you just got to do your thing and on your schedule. Guys will be ready to pitch. Nobody's going to be ready to pitch the fully stretched out or fully ready to go, but everybody will be ready to pitch and we have time to prepare. So
you know, we tried to prepare for it by doing a little more before everybody kind of showed up and just start their progressions a little earlier. But now you got to take your day. You got to have a good day. You throw your bullpen, and then you recover and recover again, and then throw another bullpen. That's the schedule. And then that gets you to where you're supposed to be. So Shota's going to pitch in Japan. Yeah, he's going to pitch in Japan.
You look at Japan as
I think that's mandated, kind of.
I was irritated by a lot of things here. First off, you have a
guy.
Thank you. You got a guy who is trying to ask a question in English. He's a Japanese reporter, and Craig kind of makes like a joke because the guy was asking, could Shota be pitcher? Yeah, could he? Yeah. I mean, it was just dumb. Like, this is a guy trying, who doesn't speak English as a first language. Why don't you cut him a little bit of slack there, Craig, number one. Number two, what was all that mumbo jumbo about? It was just literally like they were just asking. Obviously, the Japanese media in particular wants to know who's starting. Why do you got to act like it's literally pulling teeth? Okay? Just sit there and say, yeah, Shota's going to start. And then he makes the joke about it being mandated. Yes, MLB wants their best Japanese pitchers out there. I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Dave Roberts said, okay, yes, it's going to be Yoshinobu Yamamoto and then likely Roki Sasaki. Roki Sasaki's never pitched a game in MLB, you know, but they want to give him that opportunity. And I've talked about this at length. For the Japanese starters, there is a matter of pride to be able to do this. This is what you're going to that trip for, is to get all eyes on Japan watching this game. So I don't understand why you act like it's like such a big deal. You're going to be able to do something for the betterment of the game. It's going to be something that's going to mean the world to Shota Imanaga, to be able to pitch in the Tokyo Dome, especially on opening day. Don't sit there and make a big deal out of it. It's not a big deal. You and I both know it's either going to be Shota or Justin Steele. It's not rocket science. Who cares?
And just say that. Oh, that's all he had to do. But he won't even give you the fact that Justin Steele is going to start one of the two games, and Shota is going to start one of the two games. I'm not telling you he's got to tell us one and two even. I mean, that would be nice, but okay. You know, but you're going to act like, oh, you know, maybe I'll roll Jameson Taillon out there for game number two. What? That would be insulting. That would be insulting to Justin Steele.
And again, just sit
he
there.
He started in Texas. He started the first game last year.
Let's make it fun. Let's make it exciting. Don't sit there and act like this is some big chore. And to be honest, Shota had the best numbers last year. Wouldn't he? Why would he not be your opening day starter? To me, it makes no sense. If you want to start Justin Steele in the very first Cubs, you know, the opening day, the MLB opening day in Phoenix, fine. If you want to start Justin Steele in the home opener, fine. This is something different. This is something special. Recognize it for what it is and name Shota Imanaga the number one starter on opening day in Tokyo.
Odyssey celebrates President's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.